to dig back into the Word of God and read it and reread it and reread it and reread it and study the Word. I mean, we believe that you must be born again in order to enter the kingdom of God, right? And we believe that everybody can accept Christ as Savior. And isn't that good news? If you're here this morning and you haven't made Christ Savior, He loves you. He would like to be your Savior. That's the good news. We believe also that there's what we call the baptism of the Holy Spirit, that once you're saved, you can be filled with the Spirit. Some other fellowships call it a power baptism, but we believe in the power of the Holy Spirit still today. Amen? And we also believe that through the Spirit and through God's people, the Lord still heals physically, mentally, emotionally. We believe that we can pray for the sick and the sick will be healed. And we've seen that happen, and many of you experienced that. We also believe, and I'm not going to give you the 16 fundamental truths of the Word of God, but we believe Jesus is coming again. What a day that will be when our Jesus we shall see. I don't know. We might hear that trumpet while we're in church, and we'll be out of here like a twinkling of an eye. And you talk about a picnic. Oh, picnic on a lake with 10-pound bass every cast. But basically, we believe this is God's Word. The Bible is God's Word. And we want to make a lifetime of study. It's how we have a great relationship with Christ on an ongoing basis, prayer and the Word of God. And we believe it. We believe it is infallible. The Word of God's infallible. We're not. And we're becoming more like Christ as we walk with Christ daily and make applications with the Word of God. Amen? Amen. And it's so good. And so we're going to continue with the gifts of the Spirit right on up to Thanksgiving. We're talking about the gifts of the Spirit. This time last year, we talked about the fruit of the Spirit and character. And it's important to have character, and it's important to have gifts. And every Spirit-filled believer can operate in the gifts of the Spirit. It's not a select club. Actually, as the Spirit wills, the Scripture says, you can operate in those gifts right away as the Spirit wills. Well, let's talk. We're going to continue, and today we will actually talk about tongues and interpretations of tongues, which I think is important in a Pentecostal church. And Josh, you were just right on the money this morning. I mean, you'll, at least for me, because it confirms that we're right on with what I'm saying this morning. There was a committee of ministers in a certain city, and some of y'all, D.L. Moody's gone to be with the Lord for many, many years, but still the Moody Bible Institute, although he's been gone for decades, his ministry still impacts the world today. Not only our own country, they print a lot of biblical resources. Moody Institute just still is impacting not only in America but around the world. So what a legacy. D.L. Moody was quite a preacher. Of course, I never heard him preach and read some of his books over the year, and quite the writer. When he was living, there was a minister's meeting in a certain city, and they were going to have an evangelistic campaign in that city. And D.L. Moody not only pastored a church, he was also an evangelist as well. And most everybody in the building or in the room, I think there were somewhere around 50 pastors in the room that come from around the city, they wanted Moody. I mean, people were getting saved in droves. Lives were being changed everywhere he went. Then one young whippersnapper minister stood up and not rude, but maybe not quite in order. But he said, "Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And the room kind of did what you just did. And it got very, very quiet. And then an old godly minister stood up. Did I do something wrong, Lord? It really is a true story. If you're a guest, the reason that sometimes if I ever go true story, that really means it's a made-up story. And I'm just having fun. But this one's really true. I don't know what that sound is. But anyway, back to the ranch. That's somebody else's microphone. That's not me. Something's happening. So anyway, you can imagine what the room felt like. It was a little uncomfortable. It got very silent. There were some oohs and ahs. And again, the young man said, "Why Moody? Does he have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit?" And after about 5-6 seconds of silence, an old godly minister stood up. And he said, "No, young man, he does not have a monopoly on the Holy Spirit, but the Holy Spirit has a monopoly on him." So my question to this morning, Josh, and the rest of you, is does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life? Are you completely surrendered to the Father, the Son, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit? 1 Corinthians 12:1 says, "Now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I do not want you to be uninformed." That's what we're going to keep doing for the next few weeks, is giving you Bible information. 1 Corinthians 14:1 says, "Pursue love," and just listen to me, "and earnestly desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy." Next week, we're going to talk about prophecy and the gift of prophecy, all in a week. There's volumes written on that one thought. So we're to earnestly desire Jesus, right? We're to earnestly desire the Holy Spirit, right? And it says earnestly desire the spiritual gifts. The Lord wants us to desire the gifts He's promised the church. And it's a very, very strong, intense word in the original language. It means almost to covet, but in a positive sense, just to want it, to have those gifts. It's a very intense word that even could mean jealous in a sense. I'm jealous. If somebody has them, I want them kind of thing. Not that jealousy in itself is an okay deal. It's not. But this earnestly desire the spiritual gifts is a very intense word. In fact, it comes from a root word that means to be hot, which speaks of love and passion. So church, I want to exhort you today. Get hungry for God. You said, you've said that every week now for a month. I'm going to say it every week for another month. We need to get hungry for God. We've got Jesus as Savior, many of us this morning. Let's desire all that He has for us. The Holy Spirit has more for all of us here this morning. I said the Holy Spirit has more for us all here this morning. Me and you, those that have been in the faith for 30 years and those that have been in the faith for 3 days, God has more. I want you to get passionate about the Holy Spirit. We always want to focus on Christ. We want to focus on God the Father. We want to focus on the Holy Spirit. We want to focus on God. Don't ever lose your focus. But after that, Paul said, get red hot, passionate, hungry to have the spiritual gifts. Let's balance it still. It's all about the gift giver, but after that, it's okay to be passionate about wanting the spiritual gifts to flow through you and to desire it. 1 Corinthians 14 and 12, and I'm just reading a few quick this morning. It says, so with yourselves, since you are eager for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. It literally means to get hungry, to get hot for the gifts of the Spirit, and then strive for them. And God, listen, you said, well, I can either take it or leave it. We're talking about what God has for you. Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on your life? Well, I just believe in quality or not quantity. The picture of the original language here is the Holy Spirit wants to give you gifts super abundantly in quantity and quality. That's a powerful thought. 1 Corinthians 12, 1 through 11, and we're going to read it again. We've read it two times already, but I think it's important to read that entire text. And then next week we'll shorten it a little. It says, now concerning spiritual gifts, brothers, I don't want you to be uninformed. We read that. You know that when you were pagans, you were led astray to mute idols. However, you were led. Well, that's funny, but let's keep reading. Paul said you were led. It just wasn't the right thing. Therefore, I want you to understand that no one speaking in the Spirit of God ever said Jesus is accursed, and no one can say Jesus is Lord except in the Holy Spirit. Now, there are varieties of gifts, but the same Spirit, and there are varieties of service, but the same Lord, and there are varieties of activities, but the same God who empowers them all and everyone. And we talked about that a few weeks ago. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good, say common good, their ministry gifts for others in the church building and outside the church building for the common good, for everybody's good. And I can't wait to get to next week and talk about prophecy. For to the one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. I call it word of wisdom, word of knowledge, another translation. To another faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by the one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. Can I get an amen on miracles? To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. And to another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by the one and same Spirit. There's only one Holy Spirit, right? There's just one Holy Spirit, and he's God, who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Now, let me just insert something here. Is as the Spirit wills, each one. I believe if we had time and through time in the next few weeks, the Holy Spirit may use you one way with one gift one day and one way with a different gift the next day. I believe we can all operate in all the gifts as the Spirit wills, because I believe that's what the Word of God teaches. As the Holy Spirit moves through us, as the Holy Spirit works through us and ministers to us, at the same time, experientially, you see sometimes that Spirit-filled people, some operate in some of the gifts more often than others. Now, either way is a biblical idea, as the Spirit wills. And let me give you a little bit more of an intro as we go further. Do you have those PowerPoints for me, Stephen? So we see nine what is called charismatic gifts. It comes from the word charisma, spiritual gifts. There are three gifts, the gifts of revelation, we call those. Isn't it good news that Almighty God wants to reveal himself to you and to others? And these are gifts of revelation, and I call it the word of wisdom, the word of knowledge, and the discerning of spirits. We're going to talk about all of those. I just finished the message on the word of wisdom, and gosh, I just can't wait to share it in a couple of weeks, because God has given us so many words of wisdom over the years. And there's the three gifts that could be categorized. Now, I'm just categorizing them to bring more understanding to the gifts. But when you study other folks that are teaching it, they put them very, very similar. But there's gifts of power. The Holy Spirit is a Holy Spirit of power. And so God not only wants to reveal himself, he wants to show himself in power. There's the gift of faith and the gift of healing and the gift of miracles. And I want to comment on faith. This is a charismatic, supernatural, and we'll take a whole lesson or a whole Sunday morning to talk about that. Everybody can have faith. In fact, the scripture says, without faith, it's impossible to please God, right? Okay, and in order to make Jesus Christ your Savior, you have to confess your sins to him. You have to repent, be willing to turn from your current sinful lifestyle and turn to Christ. But that doesn't save you. That's what you do. That's your action. But you have to put your faith in Christ. You have to believe that Jesus died on the cross, went to the grave, and rose the third day, paid the price for our sins because we couldn't pay it. You cannot pay the price for your sins, and the wages of sin is death, eternal death, in hell. It's real. It's in the Bible. And so we put our trust and hope and faith in Christ, invite him in as Savior, and there's a theological term, then because of what Christ did at the cross, we are justified by our faith in Christ. Right? That's the good news of the gospel of Jesus Christ in a nutshell. And if you're here this morning and you don't know him, we're going to give you a chance to pray to receive Christ here in a little while. Look, he may be reaching into your heart right now. He may be. When you do that, he forgives our sins. He cleanses us. He washes us. He makes us brand new from the inside out so that not only can we have eternal life in heaven, but we can walk with Jesus down here. And I told somebody, I mean, you have some really good conversations in the church restroom. Y'all know that? I mean, I bet if we could listen in on the ladies, we'd really get some good stuff. But men, we get in there and we talk about Christ and all that. And one of our guys working in children's church, I said, man, even a bad day with Jesus is better than a good day without him. Isn't it good to know Jesus Christ as Savior? And isn't it good to know that you can know him if you don't? That it's not an exclusive club, it's an inclusive God that we serve. And so that's faith, but that's not what the gift of faith is. The gift of faith, and it's got to wait now, is also a charismatic gift that's above and beyond. It's a supernatural gift to believe for a situation, to believe for a circumstance, to speak to the mountain and it moves. We'll talk about that here in a few weeks. And I probably shouldn't have taken so much time this morning, but I always like to take a little time, especially when we're teaching to the body, in a sense, to give everybody a chance to know Jesus. And all you have to do is trust him and put your faith in him and believe in Christ. And then there's the gifts of utterance, and or some call them the verbal gifts. And that's where we're talking tongues, the interpretation of tongues, and prophecy. And we've begun to talk about some of those. We'll talk about all of them, especially the verbal gifts today and next week. Praise the Lord. Well, do you ever get tired of hearing about Jesus? Do you ever get tired about hearing about the Holy Spirit? I don't. Well, we've talked many weeks about the baptism of the Holy Spirit with initial physical evidence. So I'll just hit that one quick. There was no interpretation in the book of Acts. There was many manifestations of tongue and praying in tongues, Acts 2:18 and 18. But there was no interpretation. And it's an unknown tongue. We're going to look at it, different uses, different gifts, tongues, interpretations of tongues. The original word is called glossolalia. I always had a hard time pronouncing that in the original language. And it means languages. So when you're baptized in the Holy Spirit, the initial, say initial, initial physical evidence is the evidence of praying in tongues. I had a guy one time approach me at an altar at a men's retreat, and the speaker was talking about the Holy Spirit, and he was come up to me after the service, and he was angry. I mean angry. And he said, if you're all going to keep teaching about the Holy Spirit, I'm going to go home. And I said, well, it's in the Bible. I said, and we are a Spirit-filled fellowship. I don't know if you knew that when you came up here. We believe in God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. He said, well, I said, well, where do you go to church? He told me. I said, well, that's a Spirit-filled church. Well, I know I don't believe it there either. And I'm really trying to help him. He's mad. He's elevated his jugulars out a little bit. Like when I get excited and I preach too loud, I mean, you know, that kind of thing in the vein. And I'm trying not to do that as often anymore. I don't have the energy that I had 30 years ago. I said, well, sir, it's in the scripture. And I said, not to offend you in any way, but we're probably going to keep talking about the Holy Spirit this weekend. And he said, I've traveled the world. And he said, I'm so familiar with so many languages. I've been to Russia. I've been to China. I've been to India. And he listed off 8 or 10 countries. And between all those countries, I've probably heard 20 languages. And I'm very well versed and very well educated and blah, 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 blah. Now, on the inside, I'm not going to tell you what my face looked like. But on the outside, I stayed calm, and my heart was to help him. And I looked at him as calmly, and I spoke to him kind of like I'm speaking to you guys now. I said, sir, I appreciate your intellect and your comments, and I'm sure you're well-traveled and spoken more languages or heard more languages spoken than I have. I said, but if you'll do your research, depending on where your research leads you, you will find that there's 6,500 to 7,000 languages, different languages, spoken around the world. And I appreciate the fact that you've heard 15 or 20 of them. On the inside, I'm going. And he got quiet, though. It was a Holy Spirit moment. Because I said, if you do your research, and I said, depending on where your research leads you and who you're reading, you'll find out that there's somewhere between 20,000 and 25,000 additional dialects or offshoots of those 6,500 to 7,000 languages. And they're still discovering new languages and new dialects. You want to know what happened? But he stayed the whole retreat and heard about the Holy Spirit. Don't get the idea, well, I've never heard that one. What were they praying in? I never heard that one before. Did you know in Tanzania alone, there are 151 tribes, different tribes that speak totally different languages, not different dialects? And a native was telling me that 151 tribes that speak 151 different dialects, but they speak a second language. They all speak Swahili. So that is kind of a uniting factor for them. But just 152 languages in Tanzania alone. Did you know they found, and I don't know, we're going to be here all day, but we're picnicking afterward. Did y'all bring plenty of food? You're going to be a little hungrier today. Hey, I brought the cornhole if anybody wants to take me on. Back. You're on. They found a tribe in Africa. You know what their language is? Some of you have heard they click and cluck. Now, if one of y'all break out today in clicks and clucks, I'm going to wonder. I'm going to wonder if that's a language. They found another tribe in a different country in Africa where they their language is tones. Again, if you break out in that kind of language today, I'm going to check you out to make sure. But it's supernatural. It's languages. It's supernatural when a country boy like me that doesn't speak English very well can speak in other languages. It's miraculous. And I give you an example last week at times. The people in the audience know the real language, and we talked about that last week. Last week, we had at least, when I had a show of hands, 24 people that received a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues. And some of them were the first time ever. It wasn't a retouch or a rebaptism, although the scripture's really clear. If you get low, you could just keep plugging into the Holy Spirit, and He'll fill you up. That's the good news of the gospel. And so at least 24 hands went up. I was talking, I don't have time to give all the testimonies. Pastor Lawrence last week, and he shared that with me. Wouldn't mind if I share it with you. And he said he received a fresh touch and a fresh baptism from the Holy Spirit last week. He said, Pastor Dale, I was speaking in a language I had never spoken in before, not even a prayer language that he had used before that at least sounded like the same. And you know what? I said, Pastor, that's perfectly biblical, because the word of God doesn't say a language, it says languages. And the testimonies go on and on and on. Well, number two then, and that's just a little touch with a little extra on the baptism of the Holy Spirit. That wouldn't be worth a nickel without an interpretation, would it? Of course not. We're going to talk about that in a minute. But there's tongues. I got to move. Is also for personal use to speak to God. Let's read 1 Corinthians 14:1-5. We're going to read it next week in regards to prophecy. Let me say it this weekend. Paul in chapter 14, and I challenge you to read it over and over and over and over, sentence by sentence. He's talking about all the gifts of the Spirit, but in particular, he's talking about tongues and prophecy and tongues and prophecy. And he's going back and forth in his mind and in his writing to the church in Corinth. And he's talking about tongues and prophecy. And you'll see that as you read through the whole chapter. Pursue love. By the way, there's a reason the love chapter 13, is wedged between chapter 12, which speaks of the charismatic gifts, and chapter 14, which is the chapter on the order in the church and prophecy in tongues and operating in the gifts, etc. But love's wedged right in the middle, and then Paul repeats it, pursue love. If you're going to be in love with Jesus Christ and filled with the Holy Spirit and operating and growing in the operation of the gifts, love's still the main thing. I said love's still the main thing. And we'll talk a little more about that. And earnestly, here it is again, desire the spiritual gifts, especially that you may prophesy. For one who speaks in a tongue speaks not to men but to God. For no one understands him, but he utters the mysteries in the Spirit. We talked about it to God. On the other hand, the one who prophesies speaks to the people for their upbuilding, encouragement, and consolation. The one who speaks in a tongue builds up who? Himself. But the one who prophesies builds up who? For the common good. The one who speaks it. Come on. One more verse. Now I want you. Here it is. See, even in the first five verses, he's just going back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. Now I want you to know. Now I want you all to speak in tongues. Paul writing to the church and writing to us, did he say he wanted part of you to speak in tongues? Did he say he wanted a percentage of you to speak in tongues? How many did he say? What does all mean? You're Greek scholars, you didn't even know it. And then he goes, but even more to prophesy. And we'll talk all about that next week. The one who prophesies is greater than the one who speaks in tongues, unless someone interprets, so that the church may be built up. See, when somebody just prays in tongues, it's a prayer to God. I don't know what he's praying, so it's really not going to build me up, is it? But it's still a biblical concept. It's not a message in tongues to the people. It's a prayer language or languages to God. Jude 20 says, "But you, beloved, building yourselves up in your most holy faith and pray in the Holy Spirit." See, praying in tongues. Josh had a powerful encounter because I challenged the interns in their personal prayer life to pray in tongues every day. If they've been filled with the Spirit, you can pray in tongues. If you haven't been filled with the Spirit, get filled with the Spirit. But all our interns have experienced the baptism of the Holy Spirit. So you're praying in tongues, and you believe in it, Josh. You didn't know you was going to be an illustration today, but you started it. You said, "I'm going to look like an idiot driving down the road." Well, it's just you and the Lord in the car, but I get that thought. I'm on the treadmill in the gym the other day going, I was having church. Faster I prayed in tongues, the faster I walked. Speed it up. But all of a sudden, the Holy Spirit moved on you as you were praying, and even in that context, spoke to you also. See, praying in tongues can have, and Paul says it here, a powerful effect on the believer. So I want to challenge you in your private devotionals daily. Pray in tongues. Pray to God in tongues. Pray to God. Speak to God every day. The scripture said it edifies you. It edifies a believer. It builds you up. And it does the same thing to me. It charges you up like a battery. And if you don't, get filled with evidence. And then get up in the morning and go to God and pray in a supernatural language. And I will guarantee you 100% of the time, it'll give glory to God. Do we know what we're saying to God? No. On a rare occasion, we get a Holy Spirit interpretation private. Because we're just praying. I will guarantee you 100% of the time you will be edified, built up, recharged, strengthened in the inner man, and more effective in your spiritual walk through the day. I will guarantee it because it's in God's Word. It helps us pray beyond our own understanding. That's why I pray in tongues every day. I have my list, and I pray for all of y'all during the week one time or another, and you go through that list, and you go through a time of worship, and I go through a time of personal confession and washing and cleansing, and also take time to thank God when I'm praying. But then when I run out of things to pray, I start praying in tongues. And I pray to God in other languages, and I know He hears me, and I know He's praying through me. And I know He's praying His will. It's impossible to miss the will of God when you're praying in tongues. You're in alignment with God. You're in alignment with the heart of God. It helps us pray beyond our understanding. And what you'll find out, and now I'm speaking experientially, when you're praying to God in tongues, and as the scripture said, and we'll read it today and again, you pray in tongues for a while, and then you pray in understanding. You pray in your own language. Then you pray in tongues, and all of a sudden, the Spirit's leading you in English or Spanish. And then you pray in tongues, and all of a sudden, you're praying in your own language again. And you're going back and forth. And the Spirit of God is moving through you in your personal devotion time. And you're connecting with God. And God is answering prayer. Dear Lord Jesus, if that doesn't fire you up, I don't know what can. If that doesn't fire you up, your wood is wet. But I've had wet wood. But get out of that private devotion. Woo-wee. when the fire of the Holy Spirit begins to pray through you, it's not for anybody to see or anybody to know, but you know, and God knows, and you know you can get up from a private devotion different, recharged by the power of the Holy Spirit. And tongues releases that. Romans 8 and 26, 27 says, likewise, the Spirit helps us in our weakness, for we do not know what to pray for as we ought. But the Spirit himself intercedes for us with groanings too deep for words. That still just speaks, and he who searches hearts and knows what is the mind of the Spirit, because the Spirit intercedes for the saints according to the will of God. Pray in tongues. Let the Spirit move through you. Sometimes what we would call the spirit of intercession will hit you. It'll be a special supernatural anointing. Look, we can be intercessors every day. We can intercede and stand in the gap for others every day without feeling or emotion. But when you begin to connect with God, the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, you begin to connect with him in your prayer life, and you're praying in tongues and then English and then tongues and then English and then tongues for another 15 minutes, and all of a sudden the Holy Spirit comes on you, and sometimes there is a groan. It's not even a language. It's a groan. It's something happening deep within and in the spirit realm, and you're interceding what the Spirit wants to intercede for. And experientially, sometimes you don't know what you're saying. You don't know what that deep groan means, but you know who you're groaning for, and you know who you're praying for, and most of all, you know who you're praying to. Powerful to pray in the Spirit. And see, I believe, and I understand there's disagreement in this across the body of Christ, is if we can understand as a body, because some people believe sincerely that all I just said is true, but it's all for private. But I just don't see it just for private. We can pray in tongues to God in public without an interpretation according to the Scripture. We need to learn how to flow in it. We don't. I told you we would be practical. I pray in tongues to God in Sunday service every Sunday, but you don't hear me. You might if you're standing next to me, but I don't get up. I was praying in tongues up here this morning. Where you going? I didn't pray so loud that I messed up the order of the Spirit on the worship. Now there's an order problem. I stood right here because I'll tell you the truth. Something was fighting us all morning. I wanted to grab the microphone and just stop and pray about 10 minutes in. It wasn't a worship team. It wasn't anybody. There was a fight going on here. There were hindrances from way early this morning that was coming against this day. So I just sit here and began to pray in tongues. Bethany did a great job. And the whole team, she probably didn't hear me. You know why? I'm praying to God, and if I pray too loud, she's probably going to have a hard time playing that keyboard. So we learn how to pray to God publicly in tongues. I used to meet with a multi-denominational prayer meeting. I know a couple of those guys who really love Christ that didn't even believe in the Holy Spirit at all. One of them even believed that praying in tongues was the devil. So guess what I did? I never prayed in tongues in that circle. If I did, it was because I'm not going to offend my brother over something like that. Come on now. So with me too, because I'm loud. What are you laughing about? Well, when we were singing Shout today, I shouted. I try to do what we sing. I'm shouting, hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord. That's what the worship team was leading us to do. So there's a time to shout, and there's a time to shout together. There's a time not to shout. But if you're going to pray, now, like last week when we're getting fresh, and I'm going to talk about that later, but oh my goodness. I had a lady that was part of a prayer meeting one time, and it's okay to pray collectively in tongues, but sometimes you've got to list, you've got to be in agreement. And we couldn't get her to quit praying in tongues when we were trying to agree, which wouldn't have been the end of the world. But she prayed in tongues like this to the top of her lungs, and we're trying to agree in prayer, and it's just obliterating everything. So I got her aside the next week, and you wouldn't know her. None of you, I don't think, would know her, but I called her by name. I said, we love having you in prayer. You're passionate in prayer, but when we're praying in agreement, we need you to pray in agreement with us, because those are biblical principles, right, church? She said, well, I pray in the Spirit. I said, well, we pray in the Spirit, too. We pray in the Spirit in tongues, and we pray in the Spirit in agreement. I said, that's a spiritual concept. Well, I'll just have to do what the Holy Spirit tells me to do, and I'm going to pray in tongues. I said, well, probably not going to need to be part of that prayer meeting. That comes from a guy that probably prays in tongues more than all of you. We need to learn how to do it. We think of others to the right and the left. But I tell you what, I want y'all to do it. So there's prayer in tongues privately and publicly. And then there's this tongues interpretation thing. Pastor Christian, I'm not going to be a very good example today. I may go over my time. Not that you ever do. Verse 6, 1 Corinthians 14. I just have to teach you along the way. We don't get these environments to learn. So I'm not just preaching. I'm trying to teach and be practical where we can understand. Because I want us to be a church that's red hot, wants the gifts, flowing in the gifts, and learning how to flow collectively in that giftedness as the Spirit wills. Now, brothers, if I come to you speaking in tongues, how will I benefit you unless I bring you some revelation or knowledge or prophecy or teaching? If even lifeless instruments such as the flute or the harp do not give distinct notes, how will anyone know what is played? Now you're picking up some stuff. And if the bugle gives an indistinct sound, who will be ready for battle? Well, who would even know it's a bugle? I add it to that. So with yourselves, if with your tongue you utter speech that is not intelligible, how will anyone know what is said? For you will be speaking into the air. There are doubtless many different languages in the world, and none is without meaning. But if I do not know the meaning of the language, I will be a foreigner to the speaker, and the speaker a foreigner to me. So Paul's starting to illustrate a thought here. So within yourselves, since you are eager, again, for the manifestations of the Spirit, strive to excel in building up the church. Therefore, one who speaks in a tongue should pray for the power to interpret. Here we go. Now, what happens, people isolate that scripture. They don't study the entire scripture. And they say tongues can't be of the Lord unless it's interpreted. This is just another use that's biblical. For if I pray in a tongue, my spirit prays. There it is. But my mind's unfruitful. What am I to do? I will pray with my spirit, but I will pray with my mind also. I will sing praise with my spirit, but I also sing with my mind also. You see, Paul's going back and forth. Otherwise, if you give thanks with your spirit, how can anyone in the position of an outsider say amen to your thanksgiving when he doesn't even know what you're saying? For you may be giving thanks well enough, but the other person is not being built up. We've talked about how it builds us up from the scripture, but now we're looking at a different concept. And here he goes again. I thank God that I speak in tongues more than all of you. Nevertheless, in church, I would rather speak five words with my mind in order to instruct others than 1,000 words with a tongue. Okay, we touched on this last week. It's an interpretation, not a translation. And we could take 15 minutes to unpack that. If you want to study that in your own, you'll find out that it's true. And it's okay. Last week, and I'm going to talk about it in a minute, we at the end of the service, we had a tongues and interpretation that was two different people. But you can also pray that you might interpret your own tongue. In fact, I think it's possible that's what either one of two things happened to Josh the other day. And I don't know. We don't need to know because we know what happened. He was praying in tongues and the Spirit of God just spoke to him. Or he was praying in tongues and even though he's alone, he got a interpretation. Either way, it's all good, bro. So be ready sometimes if you're going to give a message in tongues that you be ready to interpret your own message. That's okay to do that too, but many times it's somebody else. See, usually, and I'm talking about experiential here, you will feel an anointing on you to give a message in tongues. You will sense it in your spirit. You will sense it from the Holy Spirit. Sometimes it goes like this. Well, is this God? Is this not God? Is this not God? Is this God? I'm not sure about this. Ba, 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 ba. Well, do you usually have that kind of battle? If you're having the battle, it's a pretty good sign it's from God. Because that's not just come to church every Sunday and it happens. But that's just kind of a little practical thing. But let me tell you what too, flowing as a body, you have to wait for an opportunity in the flow of the service to give a message in tongues or prophecy, some of these other things we'll talk about. You don't just blurt it out over top of somebody. And that depends on the flow of the service and the flow of the Spirit. This is what happened last week. And again, many of you stayed all the way to the end of the service. We had a fresh baptism of the Holy Spirit with evidence of speaking in tongues to God. It was happening all over the building, not just up here. And I touched base with several of you on the way out just to check the Spirit, and you confirmed what I thought I was seeing, which is for another message, word of wisdom. And the word of knowledge lets you see those things. At the end of the worship service last week, after we had all had a time of prayer, many of us in other languages and to God, it got quiet. And we got a message in tongues. It happened to be Paul Niles. We waited and we got an interpretation from Pastor Sally. And it was beautiful. Then the interpretation was beautiful on the message. It was a word from God through Paul and Sally to us. And I used it as a teachable moment last week. Everybody is in here. It had a different ring to it. There was a sense for those that was in the Spirit. We knew that was a message in tongues. I mean, I knew. I was 100% certain. It has a different, the anointing has a different feel, a different tone. Paul had never spoken in that language before, as far as he knows, and he's been speaking in tongues 20 years. But he gave a message in tongues. Pastor Sally interpreted that message. So we had a manifestation last week of praying to God in tongues, and then we had a manifestation, a message from God in tongues, through Paul, interpreted by Pastor Sally, to us with understanding. What a powerful, powerful time. See, a public message that is interpreted edifies the whole body. You may break out in intercessory prayer in tongues. It'll edify you, but nobody else knows what you're doing. I still think it's okay as long as it doesn't interrupt and throw things out of order. I think that's scriptural. But boy, when there is a message, there has to be an interpretation. And so you wait for it. Sometimes if you're the the guy in charge of the meeting, I calls the guy at the microphone, you encourage people to step out and interpret. I used to think you could quench the Spirit real easily, and the Spirit can be quenched, but we don't quench the Holy Spirit as easy as we think we do. We can instruct while God's moving. I think he's pretty pleased with it, actually. So we see tongues, interpretation of tongues. Well, what happens when you don't flow with the Spirit? Well, you know, the Spirit comes on Brother Jones, and he goes, not me, Lord. And then the Spirit comes on Sister Susie, and she says, not me, Lord. And then the Spirit comes on Brother Joe, and he gives the tongue and the interpretation. Next week comes along, the Spirit of God's moving, and the Spirit of God comes on Brother Joe. And then he said, not today, Lord, I don't know about this. And then he comes on Sister Susie, and she's not too sure. She feels that anointing, and Spirit falls on Brother Joe, and he gives the tongues, and then Sister Darla gives the interpretation. And then all of a sudden, the Spirit doesn't come on Brother Joe or Sister Susie for a long, long time. But he does keep coming on Brother Joe and Sister Darla. And so we sit back and go, why do they always the ones operating in the gifts? It's because you won't operate in them. And we've all missed the Lord on that. Listen to me. I wish I had more time to teach this, because we're going to be a Spirit-filled Pentecostal church, because that's Bible. And we need the power. I can't live for God a day without the power of the Holy Spirit, the grace of Jesus Christ. Not one day can I live victoriously without the power of the Holy Spirit. Tongues, we are going to see a verse next week, is prophecy is more important. It says it. It's to be desired more than tongues. We need the baptism of the Holy Spirit. Smith Wigglesworth, one of the great healing evangelists of the last century, God had even used him in miraculous ways, and he swore that he had been baptized in the Holy Spirit, but he didn't speak in tongues. This went on for years. He even criticized tongues till one night in a meeting, he got filled with the Holy Spirit with the evidence speaking in tongues. And he'd been to tell people for years he had never been filled with the Spirit till then. I could give you so many examples. We need the power of baptism of the Holy Spirit. And tongues and interpretation and all the other reasons is a good, good thing. Paul said, I do it more than you. He said, I wish all of you. All of you prayed in tongues. I'm going to save that video for another week. Stephen, don't erase it. So my question for you, so I've run out of time both weeks, because I want to teach you some. Is does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on you? If he doesn't, what I taught you today is just a small part. I'll teach you the whole. Can you give him control of this? If he fills you today, will you give him control? Does the Holy Spirit have a monopoly on you? Worship team, come. I've still got material, but it's time to wrap it up. We'll show that next week, maybe, Stephen. I'm going to use it. And if we can move the communion table over. If I show you that video, we'd end up way up here. We're kind of chill right now. That's all right. It's all the Lord. Don't have to shout all the time, Francine, do we?